You're listening to the Clean Comedy Podcast with James Creviston and Luke LaCoy.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the Clean Comedy Podcast. It's James, and I'm back from Texas. What's up, Luke?
This meeting is being recorded.
Yeah, I know, right? That's a Zoom intro. If you guys haven't been on Zoom in a while, the new intro is this meeting is being recorded. So this is my hat that I got from Magnolia. If you guys are familiar with Magnolia, are you familiar with Magnolia?
Is that a street somewhere?
No, it's a thing for Chip and Joanna Gaines. They're the house flipper people that made Waco like huge or whatever. So my wife wanted to go to all their places. We went to Texas back where I grew up, and it was an eye-opening experience for me. So it was good. It's good to be home. It's good to be back in LA. I could have had some opportunities to do some stand-up while I was there, and I just was trying to do family stuff, so I didn't really want to do that right now. But today, I want to talk about some of the bad things, the dark side of comedy, so to speak. And it doesn't happen to us very often, but after this week and after some experiences that I've had, I felt like there's probably a lot that we should cover and talk about, because I'm going to take this hat off, guys, because I look weird and I feel weird. So there you go. Hat is off. But I had an experience this week with a comedy client that was unhappy and constantly changed things on me. And then it kind of spiraled out of control. And I realized that I'm not everybody's cup of tea, which is was a revelation to me. Does that make sense?
What was it, a writing gig?
Or it was a writing gig. I was doing a screenplay, and there was a miscommunication in text, because on the, you've used the Fiverr app, right? Mm-hmm. On there, it's like a texting thing. So if someone's writing and you're writing, if they post before you do, it can look like it came afterwards. So that's exactly what happened. So then I tried to explain, I made like a ha 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 at something, but it was supposed to be for higher up. But when they posted it, made it move down, and it looked like I was laughing. And that, anyways, it spiraled out of control. I apologized profusely for the misunderstanding. I explained what I was laughing at. I tried to talk to them. They kind of just went crazy on me and stuff, and it was a little weird. But I finished the contract. It was did not end well. I ended up with a 1-star on that situation. And I'm very sad, because I actually really enjoyed the project that I was working on, mm-hmm. but the miscommunication with this person really made it, even after I apologized multiple times, they were a little abusive. Like, and they brought up one of my stand-up jokes, that old joke I used to do about my wife and the handy, like, if you want to, you know, get a good parking spot, date a handicapped person or whatever. Right. Mm-hmm. And they're like, that's offensive or whatever. I was like, seriously, mm-hmm. like it's a joke. That's what comedy is. It's literally a joke. So, but they kept verbal abuse when they text you mean stuff? I don't know what it is. Anyways, so I would assume. And so that I went through that process, and it was a little heartbreaking, because it was a project that I really enjoyed. I really could see myself helping move it along and move it down the road. And the person just was, I don't know what happened there. I don't know what, but there's a dark side to everything that we do in comedy. You can say the wrong thing to a booker, and they don't want to book you again. You could write the wrong thing online, and somebody would fire you from a cool writing job that you had. You could have a misunderstanding in text, and even when you apologize and try to explain multiple times, someone could still be very mad at you and take it out on you. That's any job, right? We all say, oh, that could happen to any job. But with comedy, I think there's a level of misunderstanding that can happen a lot, especially when people assume that what you say on stage is a joke, you mean in real life, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think that is often misconstrued. Just because you say something on stage does not mean, one, you believe it, or two, that it's the real feeling you have. You're making fun of something. You're making fun of a situation, of a person, of a group of people, of yourself, your spouse, your family, whatever it is. Do you really think Bill Ingvall thinks everyone should have a sign to let them know that they're stupid? No, he doesn't. But that's exaggeration, right? Does Jeff Foxworthy really think there's that many people that are rednecks? No, but it's a funny thing, right? Did Rodney Dangerfield really always feel like he got no respect and his wife cheated on him, his kids hate him, and the dog would steal his food? No, that's exaggeration. It's, I think we forget sometimes, or at least people that deal with us as comedians on the business side, they can't separate our comedic side from our real side. And that's frustrating because it can cause a lot of confusion for it. Because I'll have a lot of people say, oh, you're clean. I wanted this thing to kind of be a raunchy comedy, so never mind. And I'm like, okay, well, that's fine. You know, I don't mind. That's not a big deal to me. Mm-hmm. But I don't want to be limited by what you see in this one situation, because I can write all kinds of stuff, right? I wrote a animated series that's all about Rastafarian weed smokers. You know, like, I worked on that project. I worked on a magic thing that was in Spanish and English. I just did that drama that's coming to Amazon. Like, there is lots of things we could do, but the dark side of comedy is that people will pigeonhole you even when you don't want to be pigeonholed.
Yeah, and the nice thing about Fiverr is that, you know, when you send them their equivalent of a proposal, you can be very clear about what you're going to include. And
yep.
I love to just like bullet point it, so there's absolutely no questions about what I'm doing, what's expected. And then, you know, even if they don't like it later on, or if there's a dispute, well, I delivered everything that was requested.
Yeah.
But if in the course of actually doing the project, and then there's something taken out of context, because you're only texting, so I mean,
right.
You know, you don't hear tone, you don't hear voice, it's just back and forth text. I don't know, that's a tough situation.
and also this client knew I was on vacation and still kept messaging me on vacation. Right, and so I was like, hey, I'm on vacation, hey, I'll get back to you when I get back. Well, I want this thing done and I need this thing. It's like, I told you I'd be on vacation and any stuff that you wanted before. I was very cool about it. I didn't berate them about it. And I did everything they asked when I could, when I was on vacation. Like, look, I'm out right now. When I get back to my hotel, I'll do this thing and I'll send it to you. So I was very flexible on that. And I feel like that alone, I should have kind of realized at that point what kind of person I was dealing with. And it's sad because I really thought the project had serious potential. I really thought I knew producers who could move it along. When it was finished, I really thought there was a lot there that could be done with it. And I'm kind of sad that I'm more sad it went the wrong way, not because that I got a one star and whatever. And if you guys are curious, go ahead and read it on my Fiverr. It's really interesting how they wrote it. You know what? That's it. I'm going to read that because it's, you know, it's universal information. There's no reason. I don't care. I'm not ashamed. Yeah. That, you know, I'll read it so everybody can hear it. And, it's a one-star review. I'm going to read the one-star review so everybody can read it. And then you can also read my rebuttal. All right, so here we go. This is what the person wrote. One star. Horrible experience. Not a good listener nor a good writer. He can't even use spell check. Okay, so I'm going to read it all and then we'll cover it afterwards. He made fun of me and homeless people when the true story movie is about me and a homeless guy. He wrote, ha, 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 have a nice day, twice. I write at night and picture him at a desk 9 to 5, not messaging him at home at a kid's birthday party. He shouldn't even answer. He begged me to forgive him 3 times because he felt guilty. He hurt my feelings. He was not the proper writer for me. I had to rewrite and proof typos for 3 days when I'd cut a scene out and he put it back in there. Even the ending we discussed 50 times. He discontinued his service. Okay. So number one, if you convert a document from fade in to Word reads it differently and will add extra syllables and extra characters sometimes. So it looks like a typo. It was not a typo. If you actually looked at the PDF version, no typos. I did not make fun of her or homeless people. Did not make fun of them or homeless people. And I did write at my daughter's birthday party. I'm at a birthday party. I will get back to you soon. I don't understand why that made them mad, but whatever. They changed the ending on me 3 times and I incorporated those changes several times. I actually went above and beyond changes and writing for this. Mm-hmm. So my response, what I wrote was, client was very abusive verbally after misreading a message. Constantly attacked and berated me. I would avoid if possible. Also, all speaking errors were not spelling, but formatting due to conversion. So like, just let them know, like, this was not the case, whatever. They gave me a 1 star. If you want to read it on Fiverr, you can block the person. I'm very sad that it ended. Like, again, I'm very sad it ended that way. I wish it would have ended better, but this is the dark side of comedy. This is the dark side of working on projects for other people. There's no protection for you here. Like, there's not an HR you can go to. Even Fiverr support was not very helpful. I sent them all the berated messages and they're like, well, just solve it however you can. And I was like, okay. So it was just kind of a bad thing. And then there's no one that's going to stick up for you. If you don't stick up for yourself, people like that will walk all over you. And that's what I've learned too, is I try to vet people the best that I can before I work with them. Mm-hmm. But sometimes you don't know a person until you're deep into the project. And then you're like, ooh, I made a mistake. And then you're like, let me just try to finish this and be done with this and then not work with them again. I've done that a few times too.
Yeah. And my favorite is, like, you know, not only are people trying to get comedy for as cheap as possible,
right,
then like I'll send them a proposal and then everything is like, has been talked about. Everything's written out. And then, oh, and by the way, not only will you write it, can you videotape yourself like performing it too? No. Like that's not part of the gig. We didn't talk about any of that.
Right. Yeah, I've had that too. I've had like, hey, yeah, I want you to write me a stand-up set, like a speech that I'm going to give and be funny. And then I need you to film yourself doing it. So you're like, no, I'm not doing that. That's not what I do. someone contacted me about doing a specific stand-up set about a specific topic. And I was like, yeah, I'll write that. And they're like, no, I want you to write it. And then I want you to perform it and send me the record. I'm like, I'm not going to do that. So that's not what I do. And that's the bad thing too, is like that's the other thing is, if I did a set like that, I recorded it and sent it to somebody, I have no control of where it goes after that. I have no control of what happens, how it's edited in the future, any of that stuff. It's out of my hands. So I don't want to do that. That's my other concern, is when you're doing things for people, after you give it to them, it is out of your hands. You have no control over it anymore. And it's kind of sad, because you hope that people will give you the same respect that you're giving them. And then, unfortunately, that's not how it works, especially in the comedy business. Now, the other part of that is, we put all these out on YouTube and we get comments. Someone put a comment a while back, like, bad advice. And I was like, okay, what advice did I give that was bad? And what can I fix? Because if I gave bad advice, 100% call me out on it. Tell me it's bad advice. Tell me where I went wrong so I can fix it. I can remove that video, make a new one that has correct advice so that I fixed it, and then we're good to go. But just don't say bad advice, not respond. And that's the thing, is that's the problem with, not with the internet, I guess, but that's the problem with the communication that we have in the world today, is that people can say and do anything they want, and there's no ramifications for most of it. You know what I'm saying? Unless someone wrote the N-word on Twitter or said it in a video like this, there's probably very little ramifications for them, right? That might make them lose their job or whatever, or if they slander a specific race or group of people, or, you know, whatever those things are, they talk about how they're a specific supremacist of something or whatever. Like, those things might get you canceled or whatever, but 99% of the stuff, you can be a jerk to people online and nothing will happen to you. It's a terrible, terrible. And that's the bad part about comedy too, is when you put up your stand-up, people can downvote it. People can write bad comments. There's a million things that can happen to you. We've had bad reviews on this podcast for stuff that we didn't even talk about, which kills me. I was like, what? So the dark side of comedy is that if you want to be a comedian, you have to have a thick skin. That's the truth. And if you're a person that's very sensitive to not even criticism, just harassment, bullying, I don't know what word to use, it's going to be tough, because even at a club, some comedians will talk rudely to you or talk down to you, or not necessarily. I haven't really had bookers do it really per se, but they've not been nice sometimes, even after I've like been, you know, forthcoming with what's going on and how we're doing things. So comedy, I would say, is one of the hardest jobs, because one, when you're starting out, you could be the most talented comedian in the world, but if you don't have an agent, a manager, a booker, someone to help you get stuff, you're stuck. You're stuck at a certain level for a while until you can get to that next level, until you get a special or an album, or, you know, you get a following, whatever it is, and then you can kind of move on. And so that's the dark side of comedy, is like, if you're a musician, someone can recognize you pretty quickly and you can get a manager, and then you're all off to the races. And that can happen fast, like way fast. But with comedy, it's kind of, you know, it's a crapshoot. You know, there's people that I know who started comedy, they maybe they've only been doing it for a couple years and they got a special or they're doing something. Or they got an acting job and they're on TV, so now they're doing bigger things. Or there's people that are actors and then they do stand-up and they're getting all the headlining gigs, even though they've only been on TV. They're not actually good comedians. They don't know what they're doing. But because they have a draw, because they've been on TV, they're able to get shows that they shouldn't be booked on. And you're like, wait, what's going on here? So the dark side of comedy is that.
Yeah, and I do want to say, like, on Fiverr, the majority of people that I've actually worked with have been, like, delightful.
Yes.
So
yes.
It is the small percentage of these, you know, people that I guess, get through the cracks. I've turned down plenty of stuff, too, because it's, like, it's not in my wheelhouse, or it's, like, you know, I'm not that comfortable writing it. And some people have, like, got offended because they were, like, a high-level buyer. Yeah. And then they were using, like, but I'm like this certain giant status on the site. I'm like, well, okay, but this is stuff that we didn't discuss. So I'm out. And then they're like, but this is going to, you know, further your career. I'm like, no, I'm good. No, thanks.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the other thing. I don't like the, hey, can you just do this thing for me? It'll pay off in the end. It's like, usually it doesn't. Unfortunately, I fell for that trap early in my Fiverr journey. And it doesn't pay off. Free work only pays off if someone's willing to pay you before you do the free work.
Yeah.
And like, go ahead. No.
Oh, and like, and the people are like, if they're nice to me and, you know, they're nice to work with, I generally will put in more effort and, like, you know, maybe write them more jokes or more lines. Yeah. And, you know, because they're being nice and they're fun to work with. So, you know, why not? And to one of your points earlier, there was a booker that, like, I didn't like the way that they treated me. So, like, I do have aversions to certain clubs, so I just won't perform there. So it does happen.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's the thing. That's the part of comedy that everyone has to get up. Because everyone thinks, that's the weird part is, like, when I started comedy, I thought, okay, every comedian is going to be nice and kind because they want to be funny and they're personable and whatever. And every club is going to be excited to have you because they're going to want to find the next Jim Carrey or Tim Allen or Roseanne or whoever they're looking for. They're going to want to find that person. So they're going to be invested in getting you. As long as you're working hard and you're writing new jokes and you're getting people to laugh and whatever, clubs are going to be invested in you. That's not how it works at all. And that's the sad part is that's what I wish. If I could own a comedy club, literally we'd be based on that kind of stuff. Can you provide on the stage? Are you funny? Do people want to see you? Is it entertaining for them? Are you following the rules that we have at the club? And are you personable? If you're a jerk, I'm not going to want you there because I don't want you to be a jerk to another comedian who's just trying to do their job, someone who works in my club, or someone who's patronizing the club, you know, those things. But I've seen people who were total jerks to everybody get ahead because they, like I said, they had their name was on a show, they had some kind of credits, or they had followers on YouTube or Instagram or whatever. And it's like, oh my gosh. So yeah, it's a weird, comedy is like a weird business. It's not normal.
No.
I think we forget that sometimes. I think I forget it sometimes. I'm speaking for myself where I think like, oh, it's okay. It's cool. And then I like have an experience and I'm like, oh yep. Not everybody's like me. Okay, cool. All right. So yeah. We were supposed to have a guest today. They had some complications and so they're going to be on for next week, but we have another guest that's going to talk about the LA comedy scene. I would say post pandemic, but I feel like LA just went back into another like mask mandate lockdown thing. So I have no idea what we're calling that anymore. Post pandemic, post new pandemic. I don't know what we're calling it. Anyways. So That's a weird thing too, is I live on the Ventura LA County border. So if I go to one side, I have to wear a mask in a store. If I go to the other side, I don't have to wear a mask. I'm like, this is stupid. This is ludicrous. Like logically this makes no, I walked in a store today, no mask. Like big sign said, if you went to the store, you need to wear a mask. And I was like, no, I'm not doing it. Say something. I don't care. The LA County Sheriff has already said they're not going to enforce it. If you have a shot, then what do I need to be worried about? I also already had COVID. What do I need to be worried about? I don't care. I get it. If you want to wear a mask, if you're immune compromised, whatever it is, do your thing. But I'm tired of being told what to do. I am just 100% like tired of it. I had to wear a stupid mask on a plane for 3 hours each way. I was like, and through the airport. And I was like, this is ridiculous. Like, that's like what kills me too. This is what kills me. The airport is like, everybody stand 6 feet apart, wear a mask. Then you get to the airport. Then you get to your gate. It's like, everybody sit on top of each other inside this airplane and breathe each other's air. It's like, you're stupid. This is stupid. This is ridiculous. Like, what's wrong with you? You know?
Yep.
I couldn't believe it.
Or the, like, I don't, I just don't get like eating together in enclosed buildings. Cause it's like the air is not recirculating and it's going to go everywhere. And it just because you like had your mask on before you got to the seat.
Yeah. Now your mouth is open and air is coming in and out. Yeah. It's really, well, here's the other thing is, I don't know if you've been on an airplane recently, but they have a lot of them now have these like things that kill everything in the air to like a 99.1% rate. So it kills 99.1% of everything that's in the air. Mm-hmm. Why do I need to wear a mask now? That's better than me being outside. Honestly, the air in this cabin is now cleaner than the air outside. It was cleaner than the air in the airport. It's cleaner than the air in my car. Like, what do you? It was ridiculous. I'm like, okay, whatever. So,
yeah, from the dark side of comedy to the dark side of society.
It just, well, that, I mean, that's the thing is, you live in society, so you comment on it or whatever. And so, when I went to Texas, it was like none of this had ever happened. Like, it didn't exist. What's COVID? What are you talking about? Like, it was random. It was super interesting. When I got off the plane, I went to a barbecue place, packed. That night, we went to a Mexican food restaurant, packed, no mask. Mm-hmm. Went to San Antonio, the Riverwalk, no masks, packed. Went to Alamo, no masks, packed. Went to another Tex-Mex restaurant with my childhood friend who, oh my gosh, that's a sad story that I'll share with use off this, but oh my gosh. And that was packed to the gills. Like, people, like, that my chair and the other person's chair were like back to back. Like, that's how packed in we were. I was like, there's no 6 feet here, you know. Let's see, where else did we go? We went to like my daughter found like a VR gaming place. Went to that, packed. We went to Magnolia, packed. We went to Texas Ranger Museum, not as packed, sadly, but I loved it there. Dr. Pepper Museum, packed. It was just, I literally was like, what are you talking about? What is this thing that you keep mentioning, you know? Or, you know, so it was interesting just how people take it. I'm excited to get back to comedy. I haven't got to go back and do stand-up yet, like at a club, because I've either been working on projects, podcasts, or teaching teen stand-up. So I'm hoping in August I'll be able to go back and get ready to prepare my special so I can get this party started, because we need to do that soon.
Just like Darren Carter, the party starter.
Darren Carter, the party starter. Gosh, he didn't text me back last time I texted him. Darren Carter, if you listen to this, text me back. It hurt my feelings. All right, whatever. So, guys, don't forget to check out the book of this month, Sick in the Head by Judd Apatow. So he's done all these interviews with all these comedians. Luke, have you been reading it?
I read certain interviews that I wanted to read. It's a long book.
It is a long book. Yeah, I would say go through the interviews that you feel are important to you or that feel that what would be good to you and read those. You don't have to read the whole thing. There's a lot of good interviews. I think he interviewed Jerry Seinfeld twice in that book, if I remember. I have to go back and read it again because I've been reading through different ones that I didn't read before, so now I need to go back and check. But honestly, There's gems in that book. Like, there's some knowledge. So that's exciting. Is there anything that you're up to, Luke?
Just trying to get the writing gigs going on Fiverr.
Perfect.
Yeah. If you need any type of comedy writing, I'm providing all of it. So,
and this Thursday, is it Thursday? This Thursday?
Yes. Yes. Okay. This Thursday.
This Thursday. Cause it'll be out on Tuesday, the 20th. This will be out July 20th. This Thursday, the 22nd?
22nd, yep.
At 6 p.m.?
I believe so.
We will be doing the Disney Tonight Show with David Studebaker and friends, and we're going to be doing a trivia night. And I think it's me versus Jake. Is that what's happening?
I'm a contestant too, actually.
Are you a contestant too? So it's me and you and Jake?
I don't think Jake is going to be on. He had something come up. So it's you, me, and then Allison. She's our special.
Oh, yeah. McLean.
It's her birthday.
Yeah. McLean. All right. That's right. Welcome to the party, pal.
Yeah.
definitely saying that on Thursday. So if you want to hear me say that again on Thursday when Allison McClain gets introduced, then you will hear me say, "Welcome to the party, pal," just like that. I might wear a wife beater and make myself dirty like John McClain. I don't know what I'm doing.
I fully expect to come in last, so I'm just doing it for fun.
I actually expect to not win to her either. I think she will win everything, because I actually, if it's Marvel, great. If it's Star Wars, great. If it's Disney, it's like 50-50 on it, depending on what era of Disney it is. If it's like newer stuff, like I haven't seen Frozen 2. I haven't seen that new Raya and the Dragon movie. There's like quite a few things I haven't seen. I actually haven't seen Black Widow yet, which I know is going to offend many people. I haven't finished Loki yet. Again, might offend people. But yeah, I'd be just super busy and traveling. So, although I will say, I have a new goal for 2020. It's actually a goal for 2020, 2021, is to buy myself a Tesla.
Nice.
I drove a Tesla Model Y all week in Texas, and it was the best car I've ever driven in my life. It was amazing.
Is that the one with the doors?
No, that's the X. The Model Y is between the Model X and the Model 3. So the Model 3 is like a sedan. Mm-hmm. Model X is 7 seats, and the Model Y right now comes with 5 seats. I heard you could get it with 7 seats, although you're going to have to be super short to sit in those back 2 seats, I think. Those are like children-only seats. Mm. But we drove from like Waco to San Antonio, San Antonio and back. That's like driving from L.A. to San Diego and San Diego back to L.A. in one day. We did that one day. Nobody complained. The car was super comfortable. It drove itself on some parts of it and stuff. It was epically amazing. So that part of the future, I am very excited about. The part of the future where people can text me and things to each other, not excited about that. So I hope that this doesn't dissuade you from getting into comedy in any way, shape, or form. I hope that you just realize that because it's a fun career, because it's a fun thing to do, not everyone that you deal with is going to see it as fun. And they're not going to see it in the same way that you do. So just be prepared to have some ups and downs. Just like any other career, just like any other job, just like any other lifestyle, comedy is good and bad at the same time sometimes. But I love it. And I would never – I would have figured this out sooner in my life, because I think I would have had a much – not easier life, but a much better life or career than I have now. But I'm getting there. I'm getting to where I want to be. I'm moving along properly. I'm on the steps I should be at. Things are going well. I'm actually hoping to get some other projects off the ground, hoping to finish some scripts this year for myself, not other people, and get those turned into some managers and some contests and stuff, and we'll see where it goes. And then I send you guys silly ideas I have all the time, like my bathroom attendant idea that I thought was – I don't know why I had that idea. I was just like sitting somewhere, and I was like, you know, it'd be funny. And then I was just like, all right, I'm going to do that. So.
I have some ideas for you for that one.
All right. Yeah, no, I'm definitely going to need it. I don't know. And that's the thing, is I don't know which way to go with it. Like a secret agent, or like, remember Adam Sandler's vampire character that he played on SNL, like something like that, where they like comes out of the stall and he's like, I don't know. I haven't figured it out yet. So we'll go there. So we'll go with that. So at some point. So, all right, Luke, where can people find you at?
Luke LaCoy. One word on Fiverr.
one word, people. Is that a problem that people are having? They're like, I can't find you.
No, but I noticed that it's very specific. So if you search Luke LaCoy two words, it might, I'm not on there as far as they're concerned. So Luke LaCoy, one word, Fiverr. Let's write something fun.
Yeah. And you go to jamesdcreviston.com, comedypreneur.com, or on Fiverr, it's my full name, James D. Creviston. One word, just like Luke said. And we are so happy to have you guys listen. We're so grateful for listening. Please like, subscribe, please share. That helps. If you listen to the whole thing, please listen to the ads. That also helps us keep this going and get things going. We're so grateful. And we're working on, I know I've had some people reach out and ask about when we're going to be in different places. We're waiting for David Studebaker's Drive Bar special to come out, and then we're going to put together a tour, and we're going to try to go tour and do some stuff like that. So be on the lookout for that. It'll probably be end of this year, beginning of next year. We'll be doing a comedy tour, the three of us, myself, David Studebaker, Luke, and we'll be we'll be killing it. And then hopefully we'll get to do Dry Bar, and then that'll be even better for us. We'll do more touring and more stuff together as well. So thank you guys so much for listening. Please have a great week. Keep your chin ups. Don't let anybody give you a hard time about anything in your life. Keep your head up. And if you feel like you have a problem, or you feel like there's something that you need to talk about, email me. I'm down to talk. I want to help as many people as I can. It's not just about comedy for me. It's just about making everyone's life a better life. So thank you again. Have a great one, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye.